Good afternoon, everybody.
How are you, sir?
Good. I'd like to call the meeting to order. Approve the minutes at October 10, 2017 meeting.
Second.
We're starting 5:05. Move second, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right, resolution 294, adopting proposed local law 4, a law up to collection of village real property taxes. We are not moving, we're holding it if the sponsor allows. John, we talked about this last week. The village of Saugerties and village of Ellenville, they're coming in to meet with us in a couple weeks, 2 to 3 weeks, and hopefully we'll bring it back with something that's doable for everybody.
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
We have to make a motion on that?
Yeah.
Move second.
Yeah.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Resolution 374, amending the policy of the county with regard to project labor agreements. I know John and Mark were trying to touch base. I don't think they were too successful from what I understand. John came up with a slightly different amendment than before. John, you want to just explain what it is?
We moved the threshold amount from $3.5 million to $5 million.
Thanks.
With a project that requires the services of three or more contractors for completion, with the exception of the road and bridge projects. That is a trigger then. We don't have to deal with making decisions of whether the PLA is necessary or not until $5 million threshold is reached. We raise the threshold of $5 million similarly to be reviewed by the legislature on an ongoing basis and resolve that the policy shall not preclude the legislature from requiring the initiative of a due diligence study for projects under $5 million via resolution. So this sort of eliminates the possibility of having discretionary review between $3.5 million and $5 million. And we think takes care of any undue efforts by the purchasing department to have to work harder than they already do.
All right, everybody's getting a copy of that was handed out. Evidently, Bert was doing this through Mark regarding the efficiency, to the government efficiency regarding project labor agreements. How many there were actually were from the year 2000, from 2009 till present. Mark or Bert, you want to refer to explain this?
Did you want to talk, Mark? It was the letter you wrote to government officials.
Yeah, no, I mean, so we did a review of all of the projects that would have, you know, qualified under this resolution, and I think we identified two that met, which was Sophie Finn, which we had gotten a letter from our CM that stated that we should not do a PLA on that project. The other one was a gymnasium project for SUNY Ulster that was also decided by the architect, not to do, I believe, or by the legislature, one of the two, to not do the project. So all of the rest of the 10 or so had to do with roads and bridges.
So according to John's new resolution, they'll all be exempt from
the BRC.
PLA.
They would. And if I can comment just real quick on that, I mean, my only concern with that is kind of unintended consequences. What happens if we get a grant from the state to rebuild a larger bridge that is 10 or 15 million? We're exempting bridges and roads. For one, I don't like to be required to do the due diligence study just outright, but I also don't like the exemption. I wrote a letter to this committee stating that I believe that the resolution is correctly written. It's just that if you wanted to change the threshold, at this point, I'm happy with the threshold staying at a million compared to requiring the due diligence study and then exempting out a handful of other projects. It just doesn't make sense to me, but that's my
But the question is the fact that between yours and John, if I can just summarize it, is the fact that John would like it be done across the board on, you know, like he mentioned, $5 billion or more, excluding the bridges and roads. You are basically saying that your department would have the authority to evaluate in your own department to see if a project labor agreement is justified.
Correct. I mean,
so that's the biggest difference between the two of them.
Right, but now with this new amendment, you're saying by resolution you could require a due diligence study. Couldn't you already do that on a project-by-project basis? So I don't know why adding that into the resolution makes much of a difference. Right now you're requiring me to do the analysis anything over $1 million.
Right.
I do the analysis. I outlined how the analysis goes in this memo. I don't think that there'd be too many people who would argue that there was other projects that should have been done that way. This is kind of like we're looking for a solution to where there's not a problem. I do think the threshold's low, and that's why I suggested that we maybe raise it to 3.5 or 5 million. But as far as requiring a due diligence study for everything above that threshold, I still think that that has the potential to waste taxpayer money.
Mm-hmm. Tracy?
A couple things. Well, first of all, I don't think, Mark, that having an exemption of roads and bridges means that you can't do a PLA study. So if you did get a $15 million, the county got a $15 million grant for a very big bridge project that was going to involve 15 separate contracts, and you advised the county that you thought it was in the county's best interest to do a PLA, at least initiate the study of whether or not we needed a PLA before a due diligence. This resolution doesn't keep you from doing it. The best of my read, someone can tell me otherwise. One thing that hasn't been addressed, which we talked about at one of the meetings, is the fourth resolve, which says that the $5 million threshold will be reviewed and amended as deemed necessary by the appropriate standing committee. I would like it to be clarified that that then it would be approved by the legislature, that it's not the standing committee alone that's going to be making an amendment to that $5 million threshold, because that's the way it reads right now, and we had two different attorneys say that clarification could be made to require it to go back to the legislature. I think it's a simple fix.
Mm-hmm. Nick, want to add anything to that?
I think that's accurate.
Mm-hmm. If I could
just
say
one
more thing
from our last meeting.
Yes. Thank
Mark?
You.
My concerns aren't about whether I can do this now, whether it's a $15 million bridge project. It's years from now, if it's a different legislature, if it's a different administration. This has not been changed in 16 years. And so right now, what you're setting is where you're requiring it. Right now, it requires an analysis of everything over $1 million. So the analysis has to be done. If you just say that you have to do a due diligence study with everything over $5 million, but you exempt bridges and roads, then there is no analysis that is required to be done. So there could be a different legislature, a different administration that doesn't support PLAs that then don't want to do a PLA on the $10 to $15 million bridge. That's my concern.
Just take that back a step, Mark. If you have a project and you're not being able to get labor to perform, you're going to do through, you know, trade unions in order to have the labor perform the work. In order to do such, you have to do a PLA to see is determined that you're going to have efficiencies to move forward with it. So, I mean, you're almost required to have a due diligence regarding projects that are big enough that you need labor force that you might not get in the regular work sector that you have to go through trade unions in order to get them.
I see a possibility of me being able to put out a bid on a project for $15 million and having plenty of bids without a PLA. I mean, we've seen it with other bridge projects that are slightly smaller, but.
Yes, you could. I mean, anything's feasible, but the possibility that probably would not happen. I'm sure there'd be a lot of commotion to be raised that you have to, a project that size probably would be trade unions be very involved in something like that. Tracy?
I just have a question. Since this is the first time I'm seeing this memo, Mark, when you talk about the multi-phases that you go through currently, do you know both in your time as being director of purchasing and historically for projects that were over a million, on all projects over a million, did we go to that second phase of using an outside consultant to determine whether or not we would need a PLA? Because that's what it says is the
not
second
every,
phase.
No, so it's a three-pronged kind of analysis right now. I look at it with the appropriate department head, and we say, is it the size and scope project? Oftentimes I will reach out to, if it's a bridge or a road, I'll reach out to Mike and say, you know, is there a possibility that PLA can save money here? And he normally truthfully answers that because he doesn't want to have us spend $20,000 on a due diligence study and not show any savings. So it's only on those ones, like I do say in there that the only ones we've done that on is Strive. Of course, we did it on Family Court now. This was before Family Court, but Strive, and then there was a college
That's
gymnasium.
2007 SUNY project. Okay.
And that was before my time.
Mark, let me ask you a question. On this resolution that's before us now with the changes, what would you add to it to make you feel more comfortable with this resolution?
I haven't seen, so some of these changes are, these are changes that are different than
the same resolution the with the three changes. That the one being the price of $5 million. Exempting bridges and roads. And what was the third one?
No, it's just $5 million in both places.
All right.
My comfort level is going back to the analysis, but I understand that that's not where we're at right now. So, I mean, that, but that is what I'm recommending, is requiring an analysis, not requiring a due diligence study.
If the concern is that these aren't being reported back, my suggestion would be to have them reported back to Public Works in Ways and Means, that you keep the analysis, but that you have a specific committee that I would report the analysis to and they can act on.
You would do the analysis?
That's yes.
You would do the
analysis?
That's
what's currently being done.
Right. And then if you went to the study, you would have to go out to an outside firm to do the study.
It's a yes. There's firms that specialize.
Right, just so everybody understands what we're talking about here.
I do the initial analysis. If we go through that step to get to a due diligence study and spend the $20,000, I go and I put out a, you know, it's typically three quotes. I get three quotes to due diligence, due diligence study, and award to one of the consultants.
Tracy?
Well, I was just going to ask, I mean, based on the historical list of projects that would have qualified, I mean, we're really not talking about many projects. Is there a circumstance where you could imagine a due diligence study not being beneficial for a building project over $5 million in the county?
Our consultant didn't, I mean, so Strive was not, we went the apprenticeship requirement route, and our consultant, our CM, did not believe that the construction was $5-6 million, did not believe that that we would have the costing. So that ended at that second step.
And can I ask through the chair to Mike, since he's here representing the trades, your thoughts on that too? Just out of
You know, our thoughts the whole time have been pretty much the same since, you know, when I came on board after Sonny left. You know, we went to Bobby Sudlow and we found that I knew the language existed. I think it was Resolution 319?
Yep.
2001. Yeah. So that existed. And, you know, Sonny had copies of it. I brought it up here. And, you know, I know what John is saying. You know, some of the jobs fell by the wayside because they even said that from 2001 until 2000. Oh my gosh! I got out of the Tappan Zee Bridge in 2011 and not 12, and took Sonny's job. So it kind of fell by the wayside. It fell in a hole. Nobody knew it existed. Nobody followed that. You know, got talking with Mark and everything, and everything got caught right back up to speed again. What we did do, moving along, we had the 1.5 million. It was introduced about talking about raising the threshold. We said, yeah, 1.5 million is actually unrealistic. You can't show savings at 1.5 million. We talked to the people that perform these studies all the time, two independent agencies. They both came back. They said 3.5 to 5 million, somewhere in that range. They said everybody's comfortable, you know. And we said, okay. We got talking about it, and we said if we just raised the cap and left the language alone and left the analysis, because Don't get me wrong, I love what John's doing, but you know what? I also don't want to see Ulster County taxpayers. If you had a windfall of work and you had five jobs over $5 million and you have to do a due diligence on every one of them, and I'll be honest with you, we know going in whether or not we can save you money. And, you know, you're spending $20,000 at a clip, there's $100,000 and it comes back and it doesn't show anything. You know what I mean? Now you still have a project on your hands and you're out $100,000. So we've always had room to talk to everybody, this legislative body and the administration and everything, and work our way through it. And Rich hit it right on the head, too. If there's money involved in it, I mean, obviously we're coming for work. You know, we're not going to go away. But what Mark is saying is that, you know, the analysis, you know, right now is not really costing you anything. You know, you're doing it in-house, you know. And, you know, you got to ask yourself, do you want to start spending $20,000 on every due diligence study? And once again, the business part of me says, hey, you know what, spend the $20,000 on every one of them, you know, because it locks everything in, you know. But, you know, I live here also, and mm-hmm. I pay taxes here, you know. And if the thing didn't show a cost savings, you'd be throwing $20,000 away. So, you know, you've got to find that common ground.
You're talking about common ground. I mean, I think we all understand what the problem is between John and Mark, what he's trying to hit at. I think a way to compromise here and to solve the problem that we have here, John, if you will allow this amendment to go in there, I'll read it. I just thought about it as we're going through the process right now. If you allow me to read it, Nick just looked at it. Under the last, next to last resolve, where it says that the policy shall not preclude the legislator from requiring the initiative of due diligence study for projects under $5 million by a resolution, and it further resolved at the discretion of the legislative body, this policy would be waived. An analysis to be completed by the purchasing department before a full study is completed.
Where are you putting that in? What?
At this dark resolve right here.
But that's in contradiction with the first resolve, which says that the policy is that a study is going to be done. And then you're creating a policy saying a study is going to be done, and then in the same policy you're saying...
But you're giving the discretion of the legislative body to determine if analysis is going to be done.
Yeah, but do you have to change the second resolve?
Yeah, you have to do a resolution every time.
That is not a good amendment. Can I?
Yeah.
So one thing that I'm thinking about listening to Mike's comments and also taking into consideration Mark's comments about future administrations and Mike's about previous lost, you know, period of time where this sort of fell by the wayside is one of the things that no matter what we do is we have to solidify a policy by which any analysis that the purchasing department is doing is communicated to the legislature, because without a formalized policy for actually going through step 1, 2, 3 and then reporting back with a different administration and different players, it could just not happen again. And there we are. It's just we have no idea.
I don't sit on that committee, but do you come and say we have X amount of projects on the horizon? There could be hundreds of them.
Upon counsel of the county attorney, she believes that that resolve that requires that has shifted, since this is a pre-charter resolution, to operations. So I currently do not report that. I report it to the county executive and to the public works.
Well, then that leaves us, the legislature, nothing to do but create a policy. You know what I mean? It's like we're in
as I recollect, there are, in fact, a few departments that the legislature can actually assign additional duties to. Amongst them are purchasing and planning.
But I'm just saying what is going on with the 2001
right
resolution.
I understand that, which means if we need to, then we will then assign you those duties to be reporting back to us.
So that's, it's like we need to determine what exactly we want to do. But I would say that if we're not making it a policy that a due diligence study is done as an absolute for projects over $5 million with the exceptions of roads and bridges, then we need to create procedure and policy and duty mm-hmm. for the Department of Purchasing to report back what work is being done in terms of those analyses and the decisions, so the legislature is informed of the fact that, okay, we went through phase one and two and we decided we don't need this study on this, and this is why.
Mark?
And then we're all on the same page.
If I could just, I mean, that's why earlier on I said my suggestion was to make the reporting to the Public Works and Ways and Means Committee.
Yeah, no, I'm taking
even if
I'm
you just your... up the threshold to 3.5-5 million and change with that, I mean, that would be my suggestion. I think that solves some concerns that it's not being reported back to the legislature, and I think it resolves my concerns that it's removing flexibility.
And again, this isn't about your department right now. This is about the future. This is about
right.
consistency across administrations and personnel.
I just, it opens up a question. So normally you just would do an analysis, and then whether or not the contract would say, hey, maybe a due diligence study is in order. Is the committee going to discern an analysis and decide whether or not they could save money by doing the PLA and doing a due diligence? I mean, I've never seen an analysis myself. Well, you know, is that something that's easy to read and to say, oh yeah, now we need to do
I
due
make a
diligence?
I make a recommendation.
Yeah, it's a recommendation.
Uh-huh.
And in some cases, it would be a recommendation based on an outside consultant if it got to phase two. If it's phase one, it's an internal recommendation. And if it gets to phase two based on this memo, then it's based on an outside consultant's input in relation to having passed the first phase.
Can we bring this back next
time?
Thank you.
I don't care. I mean, I find it interesting.
What's that?
For instance, the Strive Project. I never saw an analysis of it as to whether we needed a PLA or not.
I mean,
I never saw one sent out to the legislature.
We had. I've sent it to your committee. And
yeah, John, on the family court. On the family court, I know it has been done there, and I know the committee of capital of the family court, whatever you want to call it. Committee.
Family court's different now. This is caught up with it.
All right. Well.
Because
all right. Well,
I mean,
it sounds like we could talk about this for the next hour and a half. I don't think we're going to resolve anything. You want to hold this?
I don't care what you do.
Will you be willing?
Right now, there's a policy in place, $1 million.
Right.
We've been kicking this around.
Well, we have nothing pending right now. That's
and
urgency to get something
done
right
now. There's probably nothing pending for a while. Whether it be $3 million or $5 million, we moved it up so they wouldn't be bogged down with having to do analysis.
Right.
It's moved to 5 to 7, maybe, or let us do our analysis before we decide if we need a PLA. There weren't many PLAs between 2001 and this year.
We didn't have too much money to do a lot of work.
There was plenty of jobs around, but there weren't any that adhered to that resolution that was passed mm-hmm. practically unanimously in 2001.
TJ?
I'll move to postpone it.
Second.
Any other? Anybody?
Subject to further discussion.
All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Resolution 405, approving the execution of contract. Today's media custom communication department tourism.
Move.
Second.
Well, why we hold this?
Yeah, I needed information. I got it.
You got it, right?
Got it.
Yeah.
411,
happy
approving
with
the execution
not,
of a contract.
Not thrilled,
access to 50 Antibody County Health
Mr.
Line.
Mr. Chair, please vote on resolution 4. What was that? 405.
We first
say
second,
all those.
But you didn't
just say all
yeah,
those
I just
favor.
Said I got it, and then
you
yeah.
Yeah.
moved
on.
I knew what he meant.
I'll move it. We already moved. It's been removed.
Vote.
In fact, if you move it, it's coming back.
Any discussion on 405? If not, roll call. All in favor,
aye.
Say.
Aye.
There you go.
You want to do individual?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
411.
Just keeping it real.
411.
I'm going to miss you guys.
I wish we could say the same about you.
Ooh.
Okay.
That's
all right.
Yeah, sorry.
I earned that one. That was quick.
All right, 411. Somebody move it?
I'm not moving anything.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
No, I have a question.
Right. Sorry, question.
So, So the last time I had asked about, and I just got the information today, but I'd asked, I recall that at some point we passed a resolution expanding the methadone clinic program to a 7-day-a-week program, which in fact we did, I guess, by resolution 361 of 2015. So Vicki told me, and maybe Ken can explain this, that somehow it's trumped by state programs, but we have a policy in place that says it's going to be a 7-day-a-week program. So I feel like we definitely have to have a conversation about it, because the contract itself doesn't speak to the amount of days, and my understanding is that it's not 7 days. So,
well, yeah, you put a policy. I mean, you put
sure I can answer. It's funny. This is the same exact conversation we had on the same exact contract last year.
Okay.
And notwithstanding your desire to have a 7-day program, this is a program that's regulated by State OASIS. They mm-hmm. follow the protocols and procedures. There was an incident years ago. It was before my time joining the county, where a recipient of services had shared their methadone over the weekend with an individual, and they died. And so the concern was that, you know, somehow that, you know, if they didn't get a weekend dose, an overnight dose, that somehow that would have saved this person's life. And it's just not the reality. I mean, there's a program where it steps down over time, and as people go longer in the process, right now it's a 6-day program, and they, over time, they give them a longer overnight dose, if you will. So as they kind of earn it over time, this is a highly regulated program. We're not operating the program. We're providing a $100,000 subsidy. As of today, 38 people have died of heroin or opiate overdose in Ulster County this fiscal year, this calendar year. I would recommend that the committee approve our program that we've been operating. What we did do last year is we were able to obtain additional state dollars where the Health Alliance had a cap of 200 people that could receive services. We all worked together and we approved state dollars that we received to lift that cap. So now they have the ability to increase capacity. They're now at 250. They're actually at their physical plant capacity right now, and they have a small waiting list, but they are working through with a waiting list in a more timely fashion. They also serve people outside of Ulster County, so it's kind of a give and take. But what we're providing here is a $100,000 subsidy to the programming. We don't run the program per se.
Crazy.
Well, I was going to ask about the waiting list. When you say it's a small waiting list,
it's about 30 was my understanding. But they, again, what
happens... What's the dollars associated with that?
I couldn't tell you off the top of my head. The physical space can't accommodate more people at the moment. And again, that'll change as Health Alliance changes and builds out with their new investment. But right now, they're at capacity.
4-7 days.
Right. 6 days. It's a six day. Right now, they have a 6-day program, which is what the protocol is through the State Office of Alcohol and Substance Abuse.
My read of the resolution that was passed in terms of 7 days, and I never understood it as directing a program to extend methadone with one individual patient from 6 to 7 days. My understanding was having the service available 7 days a week, so that if someone were on a Monday through Saturday and someone else might be on a Tuesday through Sunday, in order, when you talk about physical capacity, in order to service more people. That seemed to always be the understanding in terms of expanding. The days was more about expanding the program in terms of correct. Its ability to reach right. people, not in terms of...
A false impression was created that somehow if we had a program that was 7 days a week, that unfortunate incident that happened like 8 years ago wouldn't have happened. It's just not the case. A person who was in recovery shared their methadone with someone who shouldn't have had methadone. You know, it didn't. Again, it's common for people as they progress through a program to be given methadone on an overnight basis. Right now, it's a 6-day program, so they basically get one overnight dose for the Sunday. That's how that works right now. And again, it's highly regulated. It's beyond our ability to through this subsidy to change that.
Okay, so my thoughts then are twofold. One, we need to address, a standing policy that can't be enacted. And two, I would like to talk about how we as a legislature can address a waiting list of 30 people in a county with 38 dead people. that maybe we need to talk about investing more funds or whatever we have to do to reach more people, since that was in my belief the intention of this original resolution.
Yeah, and just I'll just add to that that those are all good intentions, but the reality is that methadone programs happen on a regional basis. So as capacity increases at Health Alliance, those slots could be gobbled up overnight from people from Newburgh. You know, there's no way to guarantee that if this county was to make a targeted investment, would be very large. We're talking millions of dollars.
For the waiting
list? To address the physical capacity, that there's just not enough rooms and, you know, a place to operate where they operate out of. If we were even to make that investment, you couldn't guarantee that you'd still be able to knock off from that waiting list anybody from Ulster County.
And, so. And just because the guy's individuals in a methadone program, that doesn't mean that they're not going to die in an overdose.
I mean, right. Why
and it, yeah. Some guy from Allenville is not going to take the UCAT bus down so he can get his methadone.
I think heroin and opiate overdose is a national problem. It's one we put a lot of resources in locally. We do, I think, some things pretty well compared to others, especially not in the region but statewide. But the reality is that that the methadone in particular isn't the be all and end all solution to the problem. And again, with this again, our current agreement with Health Alliance operating, they're at a capacity. In a year's time, we've raised that by 50.
Which is great. Yeah, concerns me that to hear about a waiting list.
Yeah.
That's
the good news is that the program's a lot more efficient and that they're moving through that waiting list a lot faster than they used to. So it's the professional staff from the departments tell me it's more manageable now than it's been for a long time. And I think by removing that artificial cap of 200, mm-hmm. again, the state always basically dictated, you know, you can't operate beyond your capacity, and they've actually changed their processes through the state right now so that we don't have this artificial cap. They're able to make the case and build out. So they were able to add 50 slots. We were able to get the necessary state help to get that done financially, and you all passed a contract a year ago to pass those dollars through to make that happen. So.
Okay.
All right. Hello? Any other questions? Now roll call.
Aye.
Aye.
Resolution 418. Entered a contract by Health Research Department of Health. We need a Schedule A, which we have. We have, right, Tracy?
Yes, I got.
Move, please.
Move.
Second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
422, amending capital project 459 to include construction costs for Construction Inspection Department of Planning. Somebody move it, please.
Move it.
A second.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
423, approving the execution of a contract amendment in excess of 50, entered by the county, Bartman Judas, DPC, no. Department of Planning, move.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
424, approving the execution of a contract in excess of 50,000, entered by the county, Taylor Montgomery, LLC, Department of Planning.
Second.
Discussion. No discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Resolution 432, authorizing renovation and construction of Ulster County Probation Building and in Fort Ulster County, the maximum estimate cost of $420,000, authorizing issue of $420,000 in bonds of said county to pay the cost thereof.
Move it.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Resolution 434, authorize the chairman of Ulster County Legislature to execute an amendment to license agreement with Ulster County Agricultural Society, Inc., granting the use of Ulster County Fairgrounds for an additional term of 1 year, Department of Public Works and Grounds.
Move.
Second. This was held over because of some legality stuff, Nick.
Yeah, we discussed this at the council's meeting, and the county attorney and minority counsel and I reviewed the amended language, essentially requiring the Agricultural Society provide a monthly report to the clerk of the legislature just indicating what events are being held in that particular month so that we can ensure that certificates of insurance are in place and that we know what events are being held there. So that language is in the amended agreement, and the county attorney is satisfied with that. So with that being said, I think that the issue that we held over last week had been addressed.
Any other questions? Tracy?
And are we're working on a revised contract moving forward? This is just a one-year extension?
This is a one-year deal. It's actually only a license. It's not even a contract. It's,
okay.
It's freely revocable, and, you know, so it's only a one-year term at this point.
Okay. Is that, are we in discussions to?
I think communications have been had. I don't know how far along the road we are.
Okay. It doesn't sound so promising.
I get a bumper sticker made with
that. That's all I can say with any sense of.
All right, any other discussion? If not, roll call. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Resolution 438, setting a public hearing, Local Law 10 of 2017, and Local Law amending Local Law 7 of 2008.
Move it.
Move it. Second. Discussion. Jim, you want to explain it?
Back on, this was the Cold War Veterans Exemption has been in place for approximately 10 years. And back on September 12th, Governor Cuomo signed into law basically removing the 10-year sunset. The Cold War Vets Exemption only lasted for 10 years. And by the pen of the governor, he is removing the 10-year exemption, so they'll just go on forever, very similar to the alternative veterans exemption. It is that local option. It does have to be enacted by the county and all the townships for it to be in effect. So just remember that.
Are we sending this out to the townships to see if they...
You can. Ulster is going to pass it or deal, discuss it Thursday night.
Any other discussion? If not, roll call. In favor, say aye.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
So, I believe you're done with your actual agenda of...
No, no, yeah, we got new and old business.
All right, well, I guess under old business, I guess if I may, Mr. Chair, just briefly.
Yes, you may, yep.
Just, this will be, because per our rules, all amendments to resolutions have to be done on the floor on session night. There is a minor amendment to Resolution 422. And you flew through it so quickly, Mr. Chairman, I couldn't even stop you. So just to make sure that everybody is aware, and if you don't mind, I'm actually going to read the two resolves that are being added to Resolution 422, if I may.
Everybody's coming.
Mr. Chair?
This one.
All right. So the first resolve is, this is, of course, on page 3, right? It's the second to last resolve. Resolve, the Ulster County Legislature shall monitor the progress of rail service between milepost 6.5 to milepost 8.33 and shall reevaluate the trail terminus within 10 years. And be it further resolved that the county shall retain 1,000 linear feet of track for future use should the legislature extend rail with trail beyond milepost 8.33 and subsequently extend rail with trail beyond Basin Road. So what that would do is it would basically take 1,000 feet from one of the areas that has been talked about for removal and store that. It would not necessarily be the 1,000 feet from Basin Road, but probably from another section, and store that amount and hold that amount in the event that the legislature, as well as, of course, any rail provider at that point, if they were able to, number one, get to milepost 8.33, and if the legislature decided at that point to have rail with trail from milepost 8.33 to milepost 10, and at that point was then willing to enter into discussions with DEP. So while I realize that's a lot of ands and ifs in terms of that, it at least provides, I think, at least the possibility of discussing with DEP at some point in the future, and that the county would actually be holding on to those rails and storing them. So this was actually something that Chairman Ronk authored and that I will be offering on the floor. So thank you.
Thank you. Hold on.
Question?
Sure.
Question.
Mr. Hunt, in this room, had asked that the possibility that rails would be set aside if they ever need to do a repair on an existing line. Will there be any of those rails made available to them?
I'm probably going to defer that to the county executive's office. This is just very specific about the idea of if you are going to hold out the possibility of doing rail with trail. Again, the possibility of doing it from beyond milepost 10, right? If at any point you wanted to get to, say, the parking lot where the trailhead would be, for the Ashokan rail trail, that it would at least allow for the possibility of that because you actually have those rails set aside. Any other rails, I'm going to defer to the county on that.
I can just say briefly that you know, we worked really hard to be flexible and supportive of the railroad coming out of Kingston, and I know that we have some tracks in storage that we've been working to arrange for them to use for some of the rehab work that we have.
You know approximately the linear feet?
I don't, but it was all the rails that were removed as part of the removal of a big Indian trestle that had fallen into the reservoir.
I think it actually is close to 1,000 linear feet. It was 502 rails.
Okay.
But we also will have the rail from other areas, too, that
we could potentially use.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right. Hector, thank you. But I didn't fly through things. I was very deliberate.
Oh. I apologize. Maybe you were, but you were so fast. You were so fast. Chris Allen missed most of it, but he's here now. So.
All right. All right. But then, well, your amendments here, or your resolves here, have not affect the contract that's before us tonight, correct?
No.
No, you're good.
All right. So this has to be done on the floor.
Yep.
You just making us aware of it. Thank you very much. Any other way, before you leave, any other questions? I don't want you to feel slighted.
Of course.
Yep.
Everybody
got
one already gone. It's already gone.
All
right.
I got it.
New business, old business. Any new old business? Budget amendments. Having by November 21st. Try to be budget neutral. Motion to adjourn.
I apologize. I apologize for voting against the kids. I couldn't do it.
How can you not support the kids? $2,800.